Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. The Suns fired Ryan McDonough. I feel bad for Ryan on one hand. On the other hand, come on. He knew this was coming. This was the end game, right? Monday morning, 9 a.m., Suns let it out. They fire Ryan McDonough. And we're supposed to be shocked, outraged. What is it? May 27th, 2010, the day of the last playoff game of the Phoenix Suns under Robert Sarver's leadership. It's October, Robert. Come on, man. Come on. Like, we have this big, fancy press conference on July, like June 30th, where DeAndre Ayton gets rolled out, Mikal Bridges gets rolled out, and everything's great. And then somewhere around August, Devin Booker's like, yeah, I got to shut it down for a little bit. Oh, okay. We're going to get a point guard here. We're going to find somebody. We're going to make it happen. We've made this deal. Marquise Chris isn't here anymore. We're going to go make it happen because we have all these assets. We have assets. I've heard the word assets for the last 5 years. Okay, and I can't blame Ryan McDonough entirely. He's just doing this down there. I'm not going to stand too still for too long because Robert's going to get me in his sights. So I don't know if it was like yesterday. It's funny because Eric on Thursday came in and said, so I think we may get Ryan McDonough. I'm like, oh, okay, it's fine. We'll talk about what's going on in camp. But of course, what I fail to remember, now, Eric, you need to understand the same thing, is when we talk about the Suns and having a guest on from the Suns in October, I don't know if it was last October, it was Eric Bledsoe that got blown out of here. If it was last October, Coach got blown out. I mean, these are things you usually do, I don't know, like the day the season ends in April. Usually that's when the general manager gets fired. Like, when you send out the season ticket renewal, or what was it, the Vegas Summer League, I was told they took 200 of their best clients and boosters, and they took them to Vegas to watch DeAndre Ayton and wined them and dined them. And Robert's up there, and Ryan's up there, and they give Devin this enormous contract extension, and hey, this is our GM, and we're all excited. And then, what? They fired the GM today? I sent a text to a friend who I wanted to come on the show, who I think would be a great guest today. And I got back in capital letters, no chance, exclamation point. Should I be, Eric, I'm totally amused by what goes on here with the NBA. Do you want me to get the show together and, you know, go down the Cardinals winning?
No. We have breaking news. And if you sat through the Cardinal game yesterday, I mean, they won, but it was a really bad game. Okay, next.
Yeah. I mean,
they won, and it was a good win. There's no such thing as a bad road win within the division, but, man, that was a tough watch. Okay, back to Ryan McDonough.
Back to Ryan McDonough. Where are you at on Ryan McDonough today?
Stunned.
Do you understand why I'm giggling about this? Because it's just like, what a bleep show.
I guess,
what a bleep show.
As I tweeted out, I guess Robert Sarver has his own idea of the timeline. Maybe he's on a different schedule than McDonough.
Funny.
So
that's funny. He has his own timeline. We should get Robert a shirt, the State 48 guys that have timeline, and like show everybody who's been fired on the timeline.
What does the team think today? Like, okay, cool. So the GM got fired and we open the season in like 11 days.
We have a preseason game in Oakland tonight against the Warriors. And oh, by the way, Ryan got blown out. Like, we shouldn't be surprised by this. This is not, it's just the way the Suns go about things. It's the way that Robert goes about things. And I've got some thoughts. We're going to have Amin El-Hassan on here in a few minutes. And Amin is great. Amin worked in that dysfunctional front office. So Amin is going to have a good idea about, so what's it like when Robert walks in and he's got like a Diet Coke or a coffee at 8:45 in the morning, he sits down in his office and says, oh yeah, we're going to blow out the GM today. What's that like? Because that's really how it feels here in Phoenix. It's just, hey, we had a sunny day, it's 72 degrees, and that's a good day to fire the GM. Why not? I have my own, in all seriousness, if I can compose myself on this, because it's just so comical. If I can compose myself on this, I actually do have a pretty good idea as to, having seen Robert and covered Robert since day one, Well, I'll share a little bit later because it's why would he do something like this in all seriousness? And I've had some people that have reached out and said, so Brian Colangelo is going to be the next GM. No, he's not. So James Jones, if James Jones does not get the GM job permanently, and that's not disrespect to Brian, it's not happening. David Griffin, that's not happening. Would I like to see David Griffin happen? That's a different conversation. But, you know, the thing with James Jones, he's already there. He's in-house. If they don't, I was very bullish on when they hired James Jones. It was, okay, this is smart. I can see this. This is the emerging way to go. It's like Elton Brand in Philadelphia. Elton Brand gets hired and people's eyebrows are raised. When you're a former player and you ascend up to a management spot, that's a good thing. You want to be in the league. You understand the league. There's nothing wrong with that. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most, and you need to do it with life insurance. Guys, when was the last time you just took a good, long, hard look at things like, I don't know, college planning, a 529 plan for your child as they're growing up? Maybe you have that athlete and they're eighth grader, ninth grader, and you're starting to think, maybe there might be something here. Maybe I should be putting some money away. Why put it off? Look at an annuity. Okay, there's all sorts of different ways to go about it. But log on to Sagicor Now. SagicorNow.com and get your free information there. You can do it all online, privacy of your home. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Amin Al-Hassan here shortly. We'll also have the professor today. I think it's a good day to have the professor weigh in because she knows, Paula Bovin knows Ryan McDonough. The Cardinals getting their first win, ASU coming up short on the road, and much, much more. We will have that with Paula. My weekend was filled with family. I flew in my youngest daughter from Chicago, did not tell my wife. It's my wife's birthday. It is always fun when I fly in a kid or show up with a kid who's not supposed to be there when you have four of them. And she walks around the corner and her mom catches her eye and then the mom just bawls her eyes out. It's great. I love doing this. So it was fun. We had a great time being family. Did watch a lot of, watched the entire Cardinal game in my office yesterday, bunkered down. Went back and watched the ASU. Pac-12 Network, as much as we rip it, has this thing called Football in 60 that's pretty good. Because I watched some of the game off and on live on Saturday. But I watched Pac-12 Network last night, and they actually did that Football in 60. I kind of like that. So there was that. I watched the U of A game. They're hard to watch. They're just hard to watch, but they won. They beat Cal again. They had two pick sixes. And so suddenly Kevin Sumlin's team, you know, yeah, the schedule was Oregon State on the road. And, you know, the USC game, I thought they put up a pretty good fight, come up short. And they beat Cal. So now they've got Utah this Friday night. Sun Devils are on a bye week. Brock Purdy caught my eye. Brock Purdy, all Brock Purdy did was score five touchdowns. And ASU never offered him. Never got him on campus. Way to go. Five touchdowns, count them, five against Oklahoma State. Five. It's amazing. It's just amazing. It's stunning. Tyler Shuck, backup to Herbert up at Oregon, who, by the way, is a Heisman Trophy candidate, might be the first quarterback. Never got him on campus. Never offered him. And both those kids are out there. Meantime, Manny's grabbing his knee in distress. It's just stunning. And this doesn't fall on Herm because Herm came in late.
You're not surprised by what Brock Purdy did, though, are
no,
you?
No, heck no. I mean, Oklahoma State, that's a good team. On the road, are you kidding? That's a good showing. It was not Louisiana Monroe.
Yes, but...
Oh, here we go. Are you serious? You're going to doubt
no,
this?
No, I'm not going to. I wasn't surprised at all, but I'm just saying, I mean, Dan Campbell's a good coach, and he watched that tape against Texas Tech where Texas Tech rolled up like 700 yards of total offense in Stillwater. And said, okay, Brock Purdy, do the same thing. And Brock Purdy pretty much did the same thing.
Should I be mad at ASU?
No, because everyone missed on him. It wasn't just ASU.
It's in-state. Noel Mazzoni actually got into his house, fortunately for Noel.
But with Tyler, Tyler was more of a bit... I mean, that's a bigger miss to me than Brock Purdy, just because Tyler Shuck ended up at Oregon.
Yes.
And no offense to Brock Purdy,
but North Carolina to start with.
Of course, yeah, he was a North Carolina commit. So, but good on all those AZ kids. I love it. I love seeing them out there balling. There's bunches of them too. So
there are. I just would like to see them stay at home. All right, Amin Al-Hassan is next. We'll do a deeper dive into the Suns, former Suns executive, NBA analyst, co-host of The Jump on ESPN. This morning's breaking news, the Suns have fired Ryan McDonough. We'll get a Means take. That is next. All right, you're going to want to watch The Jump today because Amin El-Hassan is with us, former Suns executive, NBA analyst, co-host of The Jump. I hope you're on today now that the Suns have blown out Ryan McDonough. I appreciate you coming on, Amin, as always. Does this move surprise you, what happened today?
Well, the timing is surprising, obviously. You know, the feeling was that Ryan was on borrowed time in the grand scheme of things, that this was probably going to be his last season. Mm-hmm. But the part where it happens barely a week before the season, no, I think that's shocking, and I think it's shocking until you remember what team it was, right? If this were the Anaheim Amigos or the San Diego Conquistadors, we would all be shocked. But it's the Phoenix Suns, and this is what they do. They fire coaches 3 games into the season. They fire coaches and spend a week before realizing that they need an interim coach while the season is going on. They fire coaches and hire not the accomplished assistants on the front of the bench, but the guy in the back who's never coached before. It's all kind of this long resume of, how did you guys mess this up? And so, you know, I'm not here to defend Ryan McDonough or the job he's done, but I'm just saying, if you had enough confidence in him to let him draft the number one overall pick, spend $15 million in free agency on one player, spend $150 million on an extension, hire a head coach, and then trade for a toxic contract, you let him do all those things in a span of 2 months, 3 months?
Yeah.
How can you now sit here and say, oh, he's not the right guy for the job? If you had those doubts should have made themselves apparent before you let him make massive franchise-altering decisions.
You got to throw in trading your guard, too, away early in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's October, the Suns do everything in reverse. It's ass backwards. It's your basic bleep show is how I've put it on the air today. It's just a bleep show. But I'm curious on this end. You've been there. Former Suns executive, does Robert just get out of the car and have his latte and go into the office and say today be a good day to fire the GM? Or is this calculated? Let me throw it at you this way. Is this calculated on Robert's part that he thinks this thing's going to turn this year with DeAndre and others and he wants to be the guy that is the white knight in shining armor?
Robert's going to be the white knight? I mean, I think everything he does, he thinks of himself, he's going to be the white knight in shining armor.
Yes.
I don't see it happening. I don't think there's anything that can happen. You know, I guess, what was their expectation? Their expectation is to be a playoff team this year? That's not accurate or fair.
Correct.
You look at the Western Conference picture, this is not the year for Phoenix to be a playoff team. The teams ahead of them are all better and more experienced. You know, I was on LA radio last week, and I'm trying to explain to them why the Lakers having home court advantage is kind of a stretch. And they're saying, wait, what about this or what about that? And I said, guys, they just got shellacked by Denver, and that's not a playoff team. You look at Denver and the way they play, and they got Jokic, and he's throwing these crazy passes, and they got shooters everywhere, and they're athletic, they run the floor, and they're well-coached. And you realize, wait, that team missed the playoffs? What is the playoffs about this conference? It's about a lot harder than what you think it is. And so if you talk about Phoenix, and that's not – look, I like DeAndre Ayton. I love Igor Kokoschkov.
Yeah.
I think Devin Booker is a star in the making. That's not to say that this thing is all shot. But I'm telling you, if your expectation is right now we're going to be one of the 8 best teams in this conference, I'm telling you, you haven't been watching basketball.
Yeah. But my point is I'm coming from Robert's view, because you and I agree this is not white knight in shining armor. But is Robert on that space of, and you've worked in this front office, of I'm going to be the guy that's going to get some credit here because I've gotten my ass kicked here locally for the last 8 years. There's not been a playoff game since May 27th of 2010 in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I'm trying to make sense of this because it makes no sense, the timing. And it's just Robert saying, okay, it's the start of the season. I'm just going to be the guy. I'll be the front guy in this and take the heat.
I mean, yes, I could see him having that thought process.
Yeah.
I would submit to you that it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
That's not the solution.
Yeah. When you worked there, did he have impulsive days like this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a story that I've told before on The Jump was, we had our draft board, right? And it was in kind of an area that he had access to. You know, it wasn't really locked up or anything. And so what we would do is we would purposefully, at the end of the day, I would go and I would make random markings on it. Mm-hmm. Circle some names, underline, two underlines, three underlines in this one, two star, one star, star on the left side, star on the, all types of random stuff there, so that anyone looking at the board trying to decipher, and by anyone I meant him, decipher who we like, who we don't like, could not figure it out. It was basically a fake board, because he would see stuff and then he would turn around and he would talk to other people outside the organization, and then it would leak. And we'd be like, how would he know? And it's because he would look at our board. So you had to do these things to protect him from himself, so to speak. I don't know if I've ever told this story. I don't even know if I should. But
tell it.
The July 2010 free agency, how that went, how Channing Frye got his contract was bizarre. How we signed Hakeem Warrick. It was bizarre, because I'm sitting there with, you know, we're all in the room and I'm like, guys, this guy has never rebounded above like 5 rebounds a game in his life. How do you expect him to replace Amari Stoudemire just because he dunks? But like, it's just, whatever, Channing's deal, we had all agreed on like a final offer of this and this many years. And if there's going to be a fifth year, it's going to be a team option, right? Everyone agree. And then he gets on the phone and he says, yeah, we can do this much, way above what the last number we said. Yeah, we can give him a player option on the fifth year. And we're just like, well, what did we do all this sitting around for? It's just, you know, I mean, this is the part where I think owners and fans find it hard to believe. This job isn't easy. Like, yeah. There's actual work that goes into it. And a lot of people play fantasy basketball and do stuff, and they think, I got it. And sit down and do it. But the whole thing about the NBA, and what I like about it from a front office perspective is the idea that the decisions I make today can haunt me for years if they're not the right decision, right? It's not like fantasy basketball, because fantasy basketball can have a bad year and come back next year and we got a brand-new draft and we're doing it all over again, right? The idea is that the decisions we make today can haunt you for years. And if you want to talk about decisions that haunt you for years, look at the last 4 championships won in this league. 2 men responsible, both used to work in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You got David Griffin, you got Steve Kerr. Both of those guys used to work for the Suns, and they were both pushed out. Not because they got better opportunities somewhere else. These were men that, if you had given them their druthers, they would have loved to stay in Phoenix. They left because ownership just made it untenable for them to stay. And that's all you need to know about, whether it's impulse, whether it's bad decision-making, whatever it is. You know, that's who your white knight is.
Before I get you out of here, and I appreciate all your time, and you'll be on the jump. You'll be on the jump today, right?
And not today. I'll be there Wednesday.
Wednesday. You're saving all your ammo. Actually, you're using some of your bullets here, which I like. Amin Al-Hassan with us. You can follow him, of course, on social media. Before I get you out of here, so... the players, when they hear this bit of news in the Bay Area, is it just shrug shoulders? I got my contract. I got mine. We got a new coach. We're going to be fine. Take the fans into what the players are thinking today, hearing this bit of news.
What the fans are thinking, I think it's what everyone is thinking. And I think I don't think the players may shrug their shoulders and say, oh, just another day, whatever. But internally, they know this isn't normal. Well, maybe they don't all know. Some of them are young, so they haven't been around. But you got a guy like Trevor Rees in that locker room. You got Tyson Chandler in that locker room. You got Ryan Anderson in that locker room. These guys have been around the block. They know. They know what it looks like to be in a good organization, a well-run organization. They know what it looks like to be in a dysfunctional one. And they know this is a sign of major dysfunction. And so this is one of those times. Fans sometimes get outraged about things that they shouldn't get outraged about. This is outrageous. Now, again, I'm not here to tell you that Ryan McDonough was doing a great job. He made a lot of mistakes. He made his bed. He, as I said, he was living on borrowed time anyway.
Yep.
But the idea that whoever the general manager is, whatever their resume was, that they would be fired a week before the regular season starts, after a summer of massive, what I said, decisions that can haunt you for years to be made, That does not make sense. That's not good management. It's not good leadership. I mean, that's the plain way to put it.
Is the easy answer James Jones is the replacement? Is it the right answer too? I mean, it's two different questions, but is the right answer James Jones, given where they are, start of the season and all that?
You're talking about long term, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to go through this merry-go-round, this circus. Yeah. We don't want that.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they didn't just name him.
Yeah.
That was the expectation the whole time.
Yep.
That, you know, James is going to be the next guy, and he should be. I think he's equipped and qualified. This is a guy who had a long career, not an elite player, so you know he's a worker, he's a grinder. He's been around some very successful organizations, be it the Suns when he was here as a player. He was in Miami, obviously, for those championships with LeBron and around Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg, two of the brightest kind of front office minds out there. And then in Cleveland, obviously, with David Griffin, another bright office front office mind. And so he's been around success. He's been around successful organizations that do it the right way. And then on top of that, you got to remember, he was also the treasurer for the Players Association. So this is a guy who's been on the business side of basketball for quite a while now. It's not just like this is I used to play and now I want to be a front office guy. He's well familiar with that. And I think him in conjunction with Trevor Buckstein, who's the Suns cap guy, and it looks like he's going to be now the point person for all negotiations, according to the press release. I think those guys as a duo would do a fine job of leading the organization. I just don't understand why they had to be interim. Again, this goes back to the whole, look, if you had doubts, then surely you started thinking of contingency plan.
Yep.
The idea that you had doubts and then, oh, today the doubt finally came to light 3 months too late, but then you didn't even think about, wait, okay, once I fire him, what do I do? Oh, man, do I want these guys? They should already had feelers out and talk to people and all those things. Again, that's what a good organization does.
But it just feels like he got into his car this morning and pushed speed dial James Jones at 7:30. Yeah. Or actually, I don't know. You tell me, would it be he'd call James first, say, hey, look, I'm blowing Ryan out, or he'd call Ryan first, like it on his way to the drive-thru at Starbucks. That's how it feels like here.
And,
it's just one of those deals.
Yes, the order doesn't matter. What matters is he definitely did not do this after weeks of consideration, right? Because, again, if that were the case, this decision would have come a lot earlier, before he trades for a massive contract, before he extends a guy for a full max, before he drafts a number one overall pick, before he hires the head coach, right? Those doubts had to have existed before July, at least. All right, I'll give you the pick before July, at least.
Sure.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, my line was Ryan McDonough better be renting, and that was last October, and so a year later. So I'll let you go off that. As always, appreciate all the insight and fun chatting with you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
It's always good to meet Al Hassan there. Great get. Former Suns executive. Stories were just priceless. The professor is next. Paula Bovin will weigh in on today's news. If you did not hear, the Suns fire their general manager a week before the season starts. I'm Brad Sussmad. So what's fun on a day like today is to read the national guys, Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams and others, on just the knee-jerk hour and 20-minute quick thought, top line, knee-jerk reaction by Robert Sarver for most of their views, mine too. Woj just put out that Steve Nash is not interested in the job. Why would Steve want to come here? He's with the Warriors, he's got his family, he's in Manhattan Beach, and he's got a soccer franchise. So there's going to be lots of names thrown out. David Griffin and Brian Colangelo. I got fans sending me stuff about that. There's not a chance, guys. I'm sorry to tell you this. But I do know this, that the professor needs to weigh in, and that is Paula Bovin. Always good to catch up with the professor from Arizona State over at Cronkite. Paul, of course, part of the CFP as well. So if I dance around questions involving college football, there is a reason for that. Because I like Paula, and I want Paula to keep this job. It's good to hear your giggle, actually. So you hear the news that Ryan McDonough is blown out, and your reaction this morning was?
Shocked because of the timing. I mean, I felt this was sort of the make or break season. Now that some of the young pieces were in place. I thought he would have the opportunity to see how this all unfolded this semester. So the timing, more than anything, Brad, really surprised me.
And when you say the semester for your students over at Cronkite that are going to be going over and covering the team and being around the team, that you have to give them the heads up that, hey, heads up, guys, there's a story that's sitting there. One day Ryan's going to get blown out. I've been saying he should be renting, and I hope he was. And you've talked with Ryan. I think even when you left the Republic, Ryan, if I remember correctly, told me sent you a nice note about leaving. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're right. He was one of the first people to say, hey, congrats on the job. Really happy for you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just really, really nice. And I think if you talk to people who cover the team closely, and this really doesn't matter in the world of sports, but I think really respected as sort of being a decent guy, you know, well-meaning, made some very good decisions on the basketball front, but I can't help but think sort of having that high-level point guard or the failure to track one and down, find one, make a deal, probably cost them in the end. But I don't know about you, Brad, but I can't help but feel because of this timing, something happened. Maybe there was a conversation that suggested these two being Robert Sarver and Ryan McDonough, weren't getting along. Maybe they had a disagreement. Maybe they just came to the conclusion this marriage wasn't going to work anymore. The timing for me is quite odd.
So I was telling Amin this in the last segment, Amin El-Hassan, and I truly believe that this is how Robert works. This will sound like an indictment of Robert Sarver. It's just this is who he is. In my mind, Robert feels as though this thing is going to turn around this year and has the appearances to him, not to me, to him, that it's going to be a playoff team. Thus, he has gotten his backside kicked for the last 8 years, and he is going to be the white knight in shining armor in his mind. I keep going back to what he's thinking. That is one way of going about this. The idea that he's in Starbucks this morning in a drive-through at 7:30 and calls Ryan on a speed dial and says, you're out. And at 7:31 and calls James Jones and says, you're in, seems completely plausible to me with as dysfunctional as the organization has been. The timing's just weird. It's October. It's the second October in a row where they're doing stuff that you don't fire GMs in October. You praise them. You don't trade star players in October, Paula. You take Eric Bledsoe and say, we're building around. You don't fire coaches a week into the season in October. But Robert's managed to do all these things. Like, this is now coming, from my view, to be the when I covered Donald Sterling back in the day in San Diego, just so bizarre and stuff you'd never imagine.
Well, you know, I mean, and this is something we've seen when very successful businessmen that are not in the successful in the realm of sports.
Yep.
But in other worlds, come, it's different. You know, Robert Sarver is a sharp guy and a very accomplished guy and very successful in the banking industry. But you have a different relationship with employees in the sports world than you do in the outside world. And I think it's a very, very hard transition to make. I think it's one of the big reasons they haven't been in the postseason. And, you know, he started out a bit rocky here, but he seemed to kind of back off as far as, you know, he was learning sort of the decorum required of being an owner in the NBA. He was learning all those things. And so hearing now that he's become even more and more involved in the day-to-day operations of the franchise is interesting to me. And my guess is it's going to be somebody from inside that's going to move in, whether it's James Jones or someone else, because he wants to work with someone that he can get along with. And, you know, it's a hard thing, I think, in the Suns organization right now to pull someone in who's very accomplished from the outside.
I would agree with you. I would totally agree with you on that. Talking with Paula Bovin, the professor. What can you say about your CFP, college football playoff, work that you're doing right now, unless I shouldn't even ask you that?
I can't say much other than I am watching a lot of college football. I am more than I ever have. It's a great way to spend my weekends. It's not like I feel like it's a job. It's public that our first, you know, our first meeting here is coming up at the end of October, where we will put out our first polls, and I am really, really excited about it. It's a really, really good group of people.
Can you watch, or do you watch teams that have more than one loss? Can you talk about that, or two losses?
I can't talk about that, but I just can tell you that I am watching a lot of games, and I am lucky I can pretty much watch the coach's cut of any game I want.
Wow. So
I'm able to pour through a lot of games.
Wow. Good for you. And and is there one team? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go off that.
Brad, would you stop?
I'm going to get it off that. So what else is catching your eye around town? You're sitting there at the Bureau at Cronkite. Not sitting. You're working away at the Cronkite at the Bureau. And what is it that's catching your eye around town or around the state right now?
Oh, I think Josh Rosen. I mean, you know, I know we've talked about him. I know that he did not have probably as good of a game yesterday as he had the week before. But anyone who doesn't think this team has found their quarterback of the future probably for a long time, I think is crazy. I've been so impressed with his decision-making, his demeanor. For a rookie, I mean, I think you have to put it in that context because, you know, we talk about all the time, things speed up. It's hard to do your reads and all that other stuff in your first year in this league, but he just seems so prepared for me that all these other struggles the Cardinals are having, I think fans for the first time in a while feel true hope because they have something to build around.
How do you handle a competing media company coming in and the person that you're closest to is leading that?
You mean as far as the Athletic?
Yes, I'm just having fun with you. I'm having fun. What do you make of the Athletic coming into Phoenix?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, I loved when I was at the Republic and this was a two newspaper town. You know, the yep. East Valley Tribune had a terrific reporter in Bob Moran at ASU, as well as, you know, Scott Bordeaux is writing columns. And I think competition is healthy for
yes.
not only writers, because it certainly makes them on the top of their game, but I think it's good for the community because they're getting a lot of different perspectives and viewpoints and competition. So I'm happy that the Athletic is coming in. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I know a few people that work there. I'm saying it because I love reading good writing. I mean, you know, I'm a writer. I've always been a writer. That's what I love. And to just read, that's all they're focused on right now is good writing and reporting. So I'm very pleased they're in town.
Are you going to write for them someday?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Maybe this college football playoff and more importantly, my ASU job is pretty all-consuming right now, and I love it, and it's great. So maybe down the road.
Yeah, you should.
Have me.
No, you get out of here. You could probably negotiate a pretty good deal with the guy that's overseeing it. Paula's husband, by the way, just so we're clear. So the idea of not reading you is now, it's mm-hmm. been like a year and a half. So mm-hmm. do you miss it? Or are you just so consumed with this CFP thing and teaching?
You know what? There are moments, and I will say during like big news events or sporting events that I miss it.
Like today, but
I would say 99% of the time, and it sounds terrible, but I don't. But it's because I like what I'm doing so much.
Yeah.
It's teaching here at Cronkite. There's just it's something being around students and helping guide them and
yes.
With the assault on journalism right now nationwide,
yes.
I mean, it's rewarding to try to have a role in shaping opinion of people as far as that, because it's sad sort of what the attack on journalism, because 99% of the people I know in this business are good, hardworking reporters, and so that word needs to get out.
There is something to Paula's point here, and this is kind of this is a personal note. When you get a text message from someone who's been in your class and has interned with you and they're about ready to quit the business because they're in a small part of the country and it's miserable and they're away from everybody and they're getting paid next to nothing, but you know they're really good. And then you get them on the mm-hmm. phone and they cry their eyes out, and an hour later you hang up and they send you a note the next day, I'm good, I just needed somebody to bounce things off of. And then they get back and they start killing it. There is something yep. really cool about that. And and so, yeah, I mean, I love being able to teach. It's fun.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, when these these students start their careers, it is often the most difficult time of their lives.
Yes.
Professionally, because you're having to be an adult, you're having to not make much money, and you're often in parts of the country you never imagined yourself being, but, you know, the payoff is so worth it, and it's great that there are mentors like you around. I mean, I hear your students talk about you a lot and sort of what you've done for that class, so, yeah, I totally get it.
I owe you a sandwich, so let's catch up soon. I'm actually down there to interview interns Friday, if you're down there. So.
Oh, I will be down here. Let's talk.
Let's talk. We shall do that. There's the professor. See you later. Paula Bova.
See you later.
It's always fun to talk with her because the idea that Ryan McDonough was fired today, and we're going to do a whole segment on the outrage of the Suns, and you guys get it. This is what we're stuck with. I can sit here and say, go boycott the Suns and go get billboards and go do all that stuff. It doesn't mean a thing to Robert. He has everybody by the package. He does. He doesn't care. He flat doesn't care about criticism. The only way it changes is if people quit doing sponsorships and all that stuff. And they're not. So the NBA is a drug. And it's a good drug. It's entertainment. I get it. But this is what we've got here. It's not suddenly going to change. If you're one of those that think it's suddenly going to change, you are on the payroll of the organization and you're watching this to put in your clips to send to Robert and others. That's it. Nobody else can believe that this is going to change. Nobody. We're back after this timeout. So a few things before we get out of here on the college football front. Colorado's not that good. Eric, they're 5-0. When you're watching them, that game was winnable.
They're fine.
They're
fine. They're
in the Pac-12 South. They were in the Big 12. They were in...
They're a fringe top 25 team. But they're nothing great.
If they were in the Pac-12 North...
They would not be anywhere close to leading that part of the division.
No. I was surprised what happened to Stanford.
Yeah.
With Utah. That surprised me.
Bryce Love can't stay healthy. It's a problem.
That's a problem. UCLA being 0-5. I know they're playing a lot of freshmen, but when you just say 0-5 teams, like Arkansas, I get. Arkansas is not good.
Right system, wrong players, UCLA.
I don't know when that's going to get turned around. That can't just
quickly.
Be. You think one
sure.
or two recruiting classes?
Sure.
You think?
It's Chip Kelly.
I'm thinking
it's
third
UCLA.
Year. I'm thinking 3 years.
I would think in 2 years they'll be relevant again.
They
have a good quarterback. He's just really young. I mean, he's a true freshman. They're throwing him out there. So,
are they using N'Keal Harry enough over here?
No, but I'm not surprised after what Herm said last week. I mean, they're going to run the ball. I mean, Eno Benjamin had 20 carries in the first half.
Yeah.
20 in the first half.
What was it? He had 24 yards in the second half.
He didn't get the ball much, but... You know, Colorado sort of played keep away like ASU wants to play.
Yeah, that's
keep away,
what ASU so. Wants to know. You're right. That's exactly what ASU wants to do. So they have a bye, and then they have Stanford. So they don't get back into South play for a couple weeks. But
Stanford doesn't appear to be like – that's not a, oh, they're definitely going to lose this game.
No,
that's
a game.
That's
here.
A game. That's a game that they probably will lose, but that's – it's not – you know, when they went to Washington, I gave them zero chance of winning. You and I both said last week we thought they – should have and would have beaten Colorado, and they could have. They really could have. The game was right there. Stanford's another, I don't want to say it's a coin flip game, but if Bryce Love isn't healthy and he's not playing, that changes the entire dynamic of that Thursday night game.
Okay, but you and I were at Stanford a couple years ago. Remember we went up there and it rained like crazy?
Yep, that was more than a couple years ago, but yep.
And they got crushed.
Yep.
Like 3-4 years ago.
They
I don't
did.
Know when it was. And so if it's up there on the farm, that's one thing. If it's down here, you know, I think that's a winnable game. But, boy, U of A is the one that – and look, yeah, they've got Oregon State and Cal 2 or 3 weeks. So those are some of the lesser thans. But they found a way to win some games, and yet they're such a hard team to watch. Back on Brock Purdy. So 4 touchdown passes ties an Iowa State school freshman record. First true freshman to throw 4 touchdown passes for the Cyclones since 1995. I get it. It's Iowa State for some of you, but it's Big 12 football, which to me is pretty good on the road. Today, this morning, Matt Campbell, the coach at Iowa State, said that he's waiting to see where his senior quarterback is, Kyle Kemp. And if he isn't healthy enough to play, then Brock, you would see Brock start. Quote, it's a little unsettled right now. So even with the great success that the former Perry High School star had Iowa State is not committing this morning to say that he's going to be the guy this week, which surprises me some.
But knowing Brock, he's so selfless. I mean, if Kemp comes back and it's the senior, it's the fifth year senior's job, I mean, Brock, knowing him, is going to be like, it's your job, take it. I just know that's just the way, I mean, that's just the way he is. So
you went to Prescott Friday.
Prescott Valley,
to
yes.
Tell, Eric went to Prescott. Why don't you tell everybody about it? Because you're going to post that today, right?
I am not going to post it today. It hopefully will make the TV show. I've not done the written part. So
it's going to make the TV show.
I went to Prescott Valley to tell the story of Bradshaw Mountain, the local high school in Prescott Valley.
This is the middle of nowhere, right? Like off of I-17, 5 miles, 10 miles?
No, it's about 30 miles off of I-17.
Oh, 30 miles in, okay.
So
obviously I haven't been there.
It's neighbor. I mean, yeah, you have. You just probably forgot.
So you go to Prescott Airport?
You have to go through Prescott Valley to get to Prescott. So I know you have been. You've been through it. You probably just didn't notice it.
Just didn't notice it.
But lo and behold, there are now 58,000 people that live in Prescott Valley, believe it or not.
That's crazy. Did you have fun?
They have. Yeah, I did. They have a really good football team. They were 7-0 before Friday, their best start in the last 32 years.
That's great.
And I'll just kind of let the rest of the story play itself out.
Don't play it out. But Haley's going to host the TV show this week. I'm going to weigh in on some things that are going around the Valley. Friday night, I had not done play-by-play in a few years. I did I did Castile and Gilbert. And I saw a quarterback over at Gilbert that I was so impressed with. It had fun. It was fun to be back doing a game. There's something fun about strapping on the headset. I've done pro. I've done college. It's high school's fun. It's just you let it fly. You let it rip. It was great to be out and broadcast a game. I just haven't done that in years. So, Jared Nielsen is the Iron Man. He is here day in and day out getting it done. Jordan and Haley working on some content behind the scenes. And Eric is always getting it done, too. I'm Brad Sussmatt. Enjoy your day.